one of the
ranges in there, so
say if you were involved in a case, you know, they would charge you with something applying to the main charge. But then if you had ever wired anybody about it, they had a wire fraud. If you mailed anybody about it, they had a mail fraud. You talked to a couple of people about it, they had a conspiracy. Each one of those things has a range, and they just layer up on top and on top and on top of the original charge. And, you know, you wind up with these long sentences. And, gosh, how would these guys that honestly run, they, you know, they were charged like they were some kind of kingpin or something. And, you know, they didn't have two pennies to rub back to back. And they just crossed the wrong people. And, maybe they didn't. You know, maybe they didn't turn evidence. Some people let you go on the void or whatever it was. And you look at these people and they're serving 20 years and you're thinking, oh, this is just not right. And why are we wasting precious resources, you know, imprisoning people really, many of them, I mean, really were no threat to anyone. And, but anyway, but it changed my life. And, you know, it's when man meant for bad, you know, God made good. And, yeah, it was. Well, it was in a political case. My boss was running for governor. They get the governor, she was a city official, and she issued some contracts to a vendor, and the vendor later made a donation to her campaign. Well, that happens all the time, you know. And but they're very selective in their enforcement. Not saying we didn't make mistakes, but we did. But they came back and charged us. They showed up one night at my house, you know, FBI, and told me that I'd been indicted. And they were just like the world flipped upside down. And so, it's a long story, but I would encourage you folks to The Redeemed is the last of the four books. All the books are good. They're under contract in Hollywood. I've been very fortunate. And God's been good to me. He's opened a lot of doors, and these are my ministry. I write the books, have six of them. I change all the names and places. Criminal Minds, a TV show, read A Ghost of Shade of Pale and Carolman of Hollywood, wanted to represent me. I went out there and signed with their kids and had a big adventure in Hollywood. And it's a different kind of world. Well, Rodney, I'll put it this way, there's no shortage of people to witness to. Well, you know, a lot of them were not Christians, but they liked the writing and they were very gracious to us. And actually, they told me, you're prison time, you're in Hollywood. That's nothing to be ashamed of in Hollywood. You know, they like that. And so it gave me kind of standing of those sorts in Hollywood. And
I've never found my condition or my prison time to be as good as it is at all.
Well, me too. But normally, for that in Hollywood, it was just kind of a humorous aside. And over the story, we stayed out there 2-3 weeks. And my producers did radio and TV interviews, and they were fascinated, I think, with me. And because of my background and the books, and also because I actually had core convictions that I wouldn't compromise for money and power. And they looked at me like Scotty had just beamed me down from the Starship Enterprise.
I want to talk a little bit about you coming out of prison, but really what we like to focus on here in the community. I want to just kind of get the thoughts, talk a little bit about how you live, really goes through. So, you do your time, you get out, I know you probably have friends who are going to be out. People listening to this project of confidence are going through this initial, I've been in prison for a while, and now I'm in prison, so now what? tell us about your first few years in the
industry. Well, it was, I'll back up a second and say that, we started against all odds, everybody said it was impossible. What became, we think, the most successful inmate-led Christian ministry in the history of the BOP, Bureau of Prisons. Christian Movie Nights. I started those in three prisons where I was from time to time, and I got commissioned the first book, and I began to write that inside. Wow. So that just carried over. That whole ministry just carried over when I left, and I would have to say, people say, well, there's all these topics, there are all these good things that happen in your life. They're magnificent, but they're coincidences. And I said, well, I've noticed that the more you honor God, the more these coincidences happen. So that's the way it was. And he opened doors for us, and met a publisher, and then people who everyone told me it would not let me in, did let me in, and then Hollywood called me, and all of it was a God thing, and trusting in him. And that's what I would tell your listeners. It may sound like an easy thing to say, but it's not. Trust God and give everything to him. I was careful not to do that for different reasons.
Right.
I didn't do that. It was on a file or anything.
I was just curious when you got out. Did you already have a little cash? So when you first got out, specifically, what were your arrangements? Your first job when you got out?
I got married, Rodney, so that helped a lot. My first wife died. It was a few months after I went in, and they wouldn't let me go, even though it was 30 minutes away. And, the federal judge ordered them to take me. It was very personal, and they refused, and that gave me standing amongst other inmates who also couldn't attend the loss of their loved ones. And got sent my wife's best friend actually to me near the end of my incarceration. And a friend, and then we fell in love, got married, so that gave me someone there waiting for me, which is a huge help. And the government didn't get everything I had. I had all my set aside, and I had an advantage on a lot of guys that just come out with no support system and no financial resources. And I don't pretend that it's not easy. I stay in touch with a lot of guys that I was who I was incarcerated with. And when I taught one through potential suicide one night, he got injured in a lot of pain. A lot of things have happened. But I've seen friends of mine who are, really up against it, and they couldn't get hired. But they went out and started businesses of their own. They volunteer. You volunteer, let people see you, and break shatter those images of what an inmate is. And a lot of people think that we're all rapists and murderers. Of course, that's not true. I've had people write me and tell me that they listen to me give my testimony in churches and schools and whatever, and read my book, that they've done a complete turnaround, where they want to encourage inmates, now they want to help them and minister to them. And we all can be a part of that. And there are some sites online, I can search, and that's where Christian groups will try to help inmates find jobs. Even if you get outside, you have to find something that you might feel that's beneath you, or your station in life before you went in, or not what you want, or it doesn't make enough money, or whatever. You get it just like anything in life. You start out somewhere, and you build your resume, you build trust, you connect, you network with people, and show that you're willing to do anything. And there are good people out there who, once they see that, you know, they'll take a chance on you. I don't pretend that it's easy, because it's not easy. I've got some friends who have really suffered, but others just, you know, pick themselves up and say, I'm not going to let that hold me back. I'm not going to wallow either in that anger and bitterness, you know, maybe about what happened to you and obsess on your enemies. And oh, please, anybody listening, let me tell you, do not empower your enemies. You know, if you believe in the Lord and trust in the Lord, you forgive as we were forgiven. And that will confound your enemies, believe me, more than anything that you can do. And they no longer have any hold on you. And they won't be standing between you and Jesus anymore. And so, probably preaching to the choir here, but just saying, thanks so much, and it's, I would, before I forget to, I would tell your listeners that if you want to contact me, it's, go to my website at merletemple.com and take a look there and send me a message or either merletemple@melthouse.net, MERLETEMPLE. Love to hear from folks. They're using my books and a lot of prisons now. I like to get them out to the poor. So, you know, sometimes we'll donate them to an inmate or to a facility, or they'll put them into the pool, the reading pool for other inmates. And I think they'll find a lot of things in these books, you know, that will give them comfort and hope and see that all is not lost. Well, I'm very nominal Christian, Rodney. I was raised in the church, but didn't understand the personal relationship with Christ. I thought he was real busy helping people who really needed him, so I'd go out and take care of business on my own. I wanted to save the world, I forgot that the world already had a savior, and his name wasn't Merle. And then when the world fell on me, and all those miracles everybody said that Merle could work weren't working anymore, you know, and I was flat down in the valley, you know, with only one way to look, only one way out, the cross. God used that megaphone of pain that C.S. Lewis writes about to shout at me and say, can you hear me now? And I guess, Lord, I can hear you now. When I was incarcerated in a terrible facility in Atlanta, ACDC, I was in isolation because I was so high profile, they afraid I'd be killed. And there were some pretty tough people in that facility. And it was there in that jail cell in isolation where I went down on my knees and I was born again there. And someone brought me a Bible. I tell you right, if I could find that person, I'd kill them. And it changed my life. And, you know, immediately, the folks there in that huge place, a dozen had not ever seen me. They'd heard of me. They knew I was there because it was such a high-profile case. But immediately, they began to come to my door when they get breaks that I didn't get. And they sit down on the floor, and stare at me through the little slide in the big steel door. And they would confess things to me. Murder, you know, horrible things that you can talk about here. You know, and the Cubans came, the Nigerians came, the crack addicts came, the street people came. And the Lord showed me, I was very, very inadequate, I didn't understand it. He showed me that you've always reached out with a helping hand to people to pull them up. But I'm warning you now that you might understand Christ and his coming down into the world to save humankind. I'm going to bring you down into a world you never would have known. And it was tough, it was brutal, but it changed my life right in the hand. I think somebody will. We do things differently. And I said, well, sometimes I'm tempted to think that, but I said, it was in prison, but I really found Christ in eternal life. I said, how can I say that, as brutal as it was, as horrible as it was, that it was not worth it?
There's something about being personally centered that will make you fall to the roots. And I saw that happen when I was personally helping me, and I guess that's just what it took for me to get there. I think the structure of the person is a reminder of the story of others. I got to the first thing to do at one time, we were talking about the life for us. Some of the people listening are new to this. I'm not a tech guy. I was a school teacher and never got a traffic ticket before I got to the community and things. I lived this 2 years and closed and looking at 2 years and that community. But I went to this one year at one time, and they took me in front of this committee. I'm sure they do the same thing in the federal community, the same way. They look at how they should be doing in this community, and they think it's coming to me. And the board meeting took me in the community. And then it seemed to be really good. He said, I'm a teacher to put me right back in the middle. He said, you're in the community, so you're really in the community. And what happened was, they put me in what you call isolation. It was a comfortable level where there's no stress. And the first time they had a chance, they were saying, this is the kind of meeting for stress. The first time there was a chance, they were going to put me in the house for stress. And everybody had to work up there to move in the community. So the guys started looking down the line, and it's this overwhelming smell of cigarettes and pot. A lot of the guys just doing the community, and I really wanted to come in and work for them. It should have been good. But some kind of way, they took me into their preparation, and they had a problem with it, and they made sure everyone was there, and you got to finish it. It's always the grace of God working in your life, and you know, it just reminded me of that story. I want to talk to you so much, because you know the story there, because I have not read the books that I would like to read. I encourage people to check them out as well. Just one more time to tell us where we can get a hold of those people.
Just go to my website. Get them on Amazon or go to my website at earltemple.com, earltemple.com. Send me an email on there.